Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday interview edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, and I'm happy to join you once again on this lovely Wednesday with another interview and a Thursday night preview featuring the Denver Broncos and the San Diego Chargers. My guest this week, Ashley Williams of HerFantasyFootball.com and of the podcast of the same name. She's part of the Blog Talk Radio Expert League, and we will have a rousing conversation about what's happening in that league and what's happening in fantasy overall. Before we get to any of all of that, let me tell you a little bit about BetDSI.com, because it's a place where you can place your wagers on NFL football and pretty much any other major sporting activity. Just go to BetDSI.com, sign up now. You'll get 100% bonus on your first deposit, and using our promo code FANUP10, you're going to get an extra $10 on top of that. So that's a fantastic deal. They've been around for a long time. They're a very safe site, and they have great customer service. If there's ever any problems, they're able to help you really quickly. Speaking of quickly, they pay quickly too when you win, and we know that's what's really important when it comes to placing your wagers. Remember, please gamble responsibly. And if you want, you can gamble on the upcoming presidential election. I wonder if they've taken that off the board now since this whole Billy Bush saga has occurred. I don't know. But basically, just remember, we are encouraging everyone to vote hashtag none of the above, because that's clearly the right choice in 2016. Anyway, enough politics. BetDSI.com, 100% bonus on your first deposit. And, of course, a free $10 using our promo code FANUP10. All right, let's talk with Ashley Williams now of HerFantasyFootball.com. Ladies and gentlemen, when people talk about fantasy karma, you often look at it and you go, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. I can tell you without a doubt, fantasy karma will kick you, and it'll kick you hard where it counts. As before I contacted my guest for this week's podcast, I emailed her and said, I am so happy that I'm going to be the team that finally knocks you off of your undefeated perch with a bunch of hurt, limping losers. And sure enough, the Monday night game occurs, and Mike Evans scores 14 points and Greg Olsen scores 18 points, and the Carolina Panthers defense adds only 3, and Pod Vader, Next Fan Up, loses to Team Williams 117-108. And so Ashley Williams is our guest of the Her Fantasy Football fame. Ashley, congratulations. This was not the conversation we were supposed to be having.
It's exactly the conversation we're supposed to be having.
Well, listen, your sister drafted you one heck of a team. She didn't go all Broncos like you did last year.
That is true. But our Broncos, none of us have a whole lot of faith in them this year. So I wouldn't have drafted them either. She did draft me a heck of a team, though. I was rather pleased with who she got for me. I was able to tell her players I wanted as targeting, which is good. So she got me a lot of the ones I want.
Who are some of the players that she missed out on?
Well, I was targeting more of like a David Johnson route for my running back, but I got LeSean McCoy instead, and I'm okay with that. He's been doing pretty well. I was really high on him this year. But he got me Frank Gore, who's one of my guys I like to grab super low because you get him so low and he still produces enough for it each week. She only got me one quarterback. I usually draft two, so she went against my strategy and only did one, which turned out pretty good because I was able just to stream who I needed to, which was this week for my bye week with Drew Brees. So, I may start to use that strategy in a couple other leagues. Generally, I like to do two quarterbacks. I don't know. Usually because I wait a while on quarterbacks, and she went with Brees. I'm assuming he fell to her pretty conveniently, so she took him. But I said if one of the top guys, if Brees was my bottom cutoff, falls to me, take him. Otherwise, I wanted to go with a couple more second-tier quarterbacks than I wanted to.
Well, okay. In a 10-team league, there's definitely a lot of depth there on the waiver wire charts, at least at quarterback. Where I'm finding difficulty, as I mentioned, my limping loser team, is my wide receiving core is nothing to write home about. Golden Tate hasn't turned into the player that many of us thought he might. Chris Hogan was basically a bye week replacement for Brandon Cooks. And I've got Dez Bryant sitting on my bench waiting for him to get healthy again. Otherwise, I mean, Brandon Cooks and Dez Bryant's pretty decent wide receivers at 1 and 2, but I've got nothing after them.
I've got Dez in a lot of leagues too, and this year's has been brutal for me. I've lost a lot of running backs too in some other leagues, and it's just, luckily my team's been really healthy. I've got Stephon Diggs, who was out last week, but other than that, my team has been really healthy, but it's been a brutal season for injuries, and it's just hard to pick anyone up that can fill that void.
Well, there's that. There's definitely been a lot of running back injuries, for sure. I've been fortunate. I got Jordan Howard pretty quickly in our league, which really helped me out. I had Giovanni Bernard sitting on my bench, so I'm all set there as well. As a matter of fact, running back is a key strength of my team, and I do have some trade offers out this week looking to improve my wide receiver depth using the strength I have at running back. We'll see what happens. I don't have a lot of good vibes unless I think Melvin Gordon's going to fall off the face of the map, which I don't think is going to be the case.
He's been great this year, hasn't he?
He really has.
I thought he was going to do well, but I didn't expect him to do this well. He's really stepped it up. I mean, it certainly helps that they brought Watt in fullback, which he had that comfortability there, that confidence, and he's just great.
It's been nice. I mean, who have been some of the disappointments that you've seen in some of your leagues?
In our personal league or in the other leagues as well?
Well, any league that you're participating in.
Well, I also have Dez Bryant, and he has me about to pull my hair out. He's been really frustrating. Just health-wise, because you're not really sure, you know, is he going to come back in a timely fashion? Do I need to drop him? Because we're in that tricky bye week situation too, where you can't, depending on how large your roster is, people believe you can't necessarily just keep guys stashed. But I, you know, Alan Hearns hasn't been what I needed him to be. That one hurt. I have Arian Foster, and he's been a problem. You know, Blake Bortles had a bit of a slow start, but he's been coming on, so I'm okay with him. But yeah, I mean, really, I think Jeremy Hill's been a big problem for me recently. Not awful. He's just not as good as I needed him to be.
Yeah, the Cincinnati, I mean, that's the thing. It's funny you mentioned that. I mean, Cincinnati's been a disappointment overall, not just fantasy-wise, but football-wise, too. They're turning out to be the team that nobody expected them to be. I think people thought, you know, this was going to be the year for the Bengals, and they're certainly struggling.
Is it ever the year for the Bengals?
It's more the year of the Bengals than it is for the Browns, who are going to be on quarterback number six.
But hey, Terrell Pryor, he's come out like a phoenix from the ashes. He's been good for them.
Yeah, but for how long? I mean, you can only teams are going to start keying in on Terrell Pryor eventually.
Yeah. That could open up Gary Barnage a little bit, which would be nice, because he didn't do much at the beginning of the season either. But yeah, I mean, it's just such a cluster over there. You're constantly waiting for the shoe to drop when you start a Brown. Although Isaiah Crowell's been doing pretty well. Although last week, I tell you, he had me really nervous against you guys because your matchup, and I was like, he is going to lose my game. It's only 3 points. This is ridiculous. He's been so good every other week.
Yeah, no, it turned out to be the Panthers' defense lost that game. I mean, and that's another one of those teams that – like, whoa, what's going on here in Carolina?
You see Cam on his little Segway or elliptical bike that we're all up in arms about today?
Of course. I mean, football players don't have brains. That's pretty much been documented.
It's a very concussion protocol. You don't even have a helmet on as you're riding this bike in the middle of the street. Love it.
Who've been some pleasant surprises for you?
Well, Isaiah Crowell's been a pleasant surprise other than last week because he's just done so well. I mean, that was one of those guys beginning of the season that you know, a lot of people were really big on Duke Johnson, and I kept saying, you know, we are hearing over and over again that Isaiah Crowell is their guy. He is their back, but nobody really wanted to believe it. Duke has been a pretty big disappointment for a lot of people that are Duke owners, but Crowell overall, I'm really happy with him. DeMarco Murray's been fantastic. You know, I think we all thought that he was going to be in a much better system this year. He's done great. There was that Derrick Henry kind of question as to whether we were going to be seeing, you know, to some extent a committee, which clearly we have really not seen that in the space of the DeMarco Murray show. So I've been really happy with him as well on my team. Stephon Diggs, I think, has really come out of his shell this year. You know, I was nervous, obviously, when Teddy Bridgewater went down, but they brought Bradford in, who's really picked up that offense incredibly quickly. I know they simplified the playbook a little bit for him, but I think he's just been a stud as well all year, and I think this week just nothing but up for him.
So I look at the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League standings, and I can see that you're well in control, the only undefeated team remaining at 5-0. You've gone through, have you played everyone in the West yet? Maybe not. I don't know what your schedule is like. I know coming up next for you, you're facing Pro Football Weekly's John Sally, who is, well, he's struggling. We'll leave it at that. We'll be nice to him for now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you never know. Every week you make this there and think that you're going to win. And, you know, there's always at least one week for me on every league when my team just completely doesn't show up. You never know when it's going to be. And it usually is against someone that you should always beat. That's the most frustrating part.
Well, you know, pro wrestler Eric Young picked your team to win this league. So you have fans. He did.
Nice. Well, got a solid team, Jay. Got a really good one.
What's it going to take to shake you from this? There's really no reason for you to buy or sell at this point. I mean, is there a weakness in your team? If you saw a weakness, what would you say it was?
I don't know if I really honestly have a weakness looking at this. I mean, Chris Ivory, I'm not huge on, but again, he's basically my fourth string running back. So, I mean, there's no one really I'd want to trade. Gary Barnidge, I would say, has not been everything that I hoped him to be, and that was somebody that I wanted Brandon to target for me. But I've got Greg Olsen. So, really, all I need is for Gary Barnidge to put up decent points on Olsen's bye week, and I should be good. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, short of possible injury, my team is pretty solid, and there really is no reason for me to shuffle.
I think that's something that's important in fantasy. A lot of fantasy owners, especially guys that are used to trading a lot, tend to forget is, you know, when you have a solid, there's no reason for you to make any moves. You can sit tight on that team. And you have one of those teams where it's really not necessary for you to make any moves. If somebody comes with a draft offer, it's got to be sort of over the top for you to accept it.
Well, that's the thing is, I think a lot of people also love to, you know, run that waiver wire trade just for the sake of it, because it was a lot of fun about fantasy. But you're right. If you've got a solid team, don't go throwing away because somebody had one really hot week. It's just going to pick them up. If you've got someone that's consistent, and I tend to look for players that are consistent versus the boomer bust guys that may have incredibly high ceilings, I prefer consistency on my team. But like you said, there's no, don't always just go jump ship and do that waiver wire. Like, if you've got the team, just stick with it.
So now for you, your job is going to be to not get too cute. So are you going back to Drew Brees, or are you going to stick with Dak Prescott because he's got maybe a little better matchup? Although Drew Brees against Carolina, maybe I'd go Drew Brees there.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina defense, like you said earlier, has not exactly been the Panther defense of old. I don't know what's going on with that team at all this year. It's crazy. No, I'll go back to Drew. Breeze and Dak, you know, we got Romo coming back in week 8 coming up here, so, you know, he served his purpose for me, and I'll probably get rid of him, and at this point I can get rid of Dak and then see who's been kind of hot that I might be able to fill in, and I'll probably this week really look at my buys the next 2 weeks coming forward to see if I can find someone that I'm going to need to fill that in probably around week 8.
I know. So poor you. You're going to have to fill in for Mike Evans on the bye week with, at least on your current roster, Doug Baldwin. Oh, no. Oh,
no. Oh, no.
Such a tough life we lead when we're on the top, huh?
It really is tough, yeah. But you never know when you can fall from grace. I'm telling you, at the moment, I'm nervous even having this interview because it means that at least two of my players are going to get injured this week. That's what happens.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm trying to get the fantasy karma to rub off now on you.
Okay. You can, I think that's what he's doing.
You can drop back to the pack.
Rub that off.
All right. So quick update here on the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. You are in firm control of the number one spot over in the West Division. It is D-Rex of Pyromaniac.com tied with Jay at Razzball. By the way, all three of those teams are the top scoring teams in the league as well. So there's not even any funky like scoring issues happening right now. It's literally pure domination by you three. The sports gal pal Ramona Rice has now taken the last wild card spot in the playoffs with a record of 3-2. Myself and Matt Chatham next teams up at 2-2-1. I love tying. It's the worst thing ever.
It is awful.
All right. So Ashley, congratulations to you. I suppose continued luck here in the Expert League, at least until we meet again in the playoffs.
Thank you so much, Jay. I'm hoping as usual it doesn't rub off.
Where can people find you before you take off?
Our site is herfantasyfootball.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at AshleyHerFFB.
There you go. Ashley Williams. Thanks, Ashley. All right, there goes Ashley, and now it's time for a Thursday night football preview presented by the superfans of the Denver Broncos, the San Diego Chargers, and look at here, we have a special guest host. It's Nick, our Kansas City superfan.
Yes, hello there. It's Kansas City superfan Nick, jumping into the Thursday podcast to give you a battle and a preview of the upcoming San Diego Chargers versus Denver Broncos matchup. Pulling back the curtain a little bit, the reason why you're hearing me, it's because we're recording this on Sunday, so if we miss an injury or something like that, you know, that's why. But it's going to be a big AFC West divisional battle, and I'm going to toss it to you first here, Ken. Again, because this is on Sunday, both of these teams suffered losses, but none quite as Charger-like as yours. And so I know that there's a little bit of pessimism still rattling around in there for you. But, you know, in these division games, the AFC West always plays itself fairly close, even when teams are doing bad. Do you, you know, lay it out for us? Like, how are the Chargers going to potentially win this game?
I think this game we're going to learn a lot about what's going on in Charger camp, because if they come out fighting and if they come out and play a good game, I think the defense played well this week. I think they have a chance to get after whoever is at quarterback on the Broncos. That's going to say a lot to me about the coaching staff, because I've been very critical of them in the past. However, I think this game has a chance to be an absolute blowout where the Chargers season really, where you can look at this game and go, yeah, that's when they stopped caring. Because five games in and the Chargers have found the most creative ways to lose in the most dramatic fashion in the most critical times during each game. And so against a good team, which I think the Denver team is, despite what they have going on in the quarterback situation, I think that defense might be able to frustrate Rivers. I'll be interested to see how the team looks. Whether they win or lose at this point, I don't care, because I feel like our season is over. I just want to see if they're still willing to play for Mike McCoy, because if they aren't, I think that'll send a message that he needs to be fired. And at this point, I almost might be rooting for that, because I think this team needs a change of scenery. So I would bet the Broncos win this game, and I feel fairly confident about it.
And for you, Lewis, you know, your team is just coming off of a loss at home. They're now going to San Diego. Are you confident that they're going to bounce back, and how are they going to attack the San Diego team?
I mean, I'm not so confident we're going to come back. I think we should win this game, but there's a lot of reasons why San Diego could pull this off. I mean, San Diego has been playing Denver tough the last couple of years. Last year, they almost won the Week 17 game, and we almost didn't get home field because of that. And it's always tough on a turnaround Thursday night. And San Diego's, they're a good team. I mean, despite the record being 1-4, they're a good football team, and they just find ways to lose. But Denver has a lot of issues right now. Their offensive line shambles. They're not getting any push on the offensive line. Their run game hasn't been strong since the Cincy game. So the last 3 weeks, it hasn't really been up to par. And if Trevor does start, I mean, he's hurt. So one hit to that left arm. We don't know how long he could play. And Paxton didn't look too great this week. So I am concerned. It's a division game. But I think Ken put out some good points because I don't know if his team will continue to play for Mike McCoy. So interesting if this team does quit on them. But I think at home, division rival, I don't think that would be the case. I think it's going to be a close game. But I think Denver needs to and will find a way to pull it out.
And, you know, you touched upon this already, and it's because we're recording this early, we don't know who is going to be at quarterback. But, you know, just give us a quick breakdown in terms of what you've seen in each of their games, how they play differently and how the offense works a bit differently when it's Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian under center.
I mean, from what I saw from Paxton today, he wasn't able to get the ball out quickly. He held on to the ball way too long, which was the reason why the team let up so many sacks. I think the difference between him and Trevor is that Trevor's able to read coverages and get the ball out faster. And that's because Trevor has not so much more experience, but he's been in the league. He's seen a lot more. Paxton's coming straight out of a spread offense in Memphis, and he needs more time to adjust. So I think that's the main difference between Paxton and Trevor. Listen, Paxton's obviously much more athletic, more mobile, better arm. He has all the attributes to become a better quarterback, but right now he has to get his mental game sharp, and that's why I think Trevor Siemian gives us the best chance to win.
And for you, Ken, you know, it does seem like this is a team that could potentially turn on its coach around this time, just given the way that some of these games have gone. But Phillip Rivers, I feel like, has been sort of the leader of the team for years now anyway, and he's still, you know, producing. He's still at least leading the offense for the most part, you know, and it's been productive. At least it was against that Oakland Raiders team. You know, if the Chargers find a way to win, you know, what are some of the matchups that you think are going to work in their favor? Do you think it's going to be against those corners? Or do you think Melvin Gordon could have himself a day?
You know, on offense, I think that it's going to be a real struggle against Denver D. I think where we might have an upper hand, which I don't think most people who don't watch the Chargers understand, is that our defense is actually pretty good. And while we do give up the big play and we are heavily injured, the front seven on the Chargers is much better than it has been in probably the last 10 years. Guys like Melvin Ingram, Atau Chu, I mentioned Bosa today. Those guys are pretty good at rushing the passer. And the Chargers are no longer this team that you see in fantasy and you're like, I need to start everyone who is playing against the Chargers. So hopefully we can get some pressure on the quarterback. I wish Verrett wasn't injured, but I think our defense is better than people think. And so hopefully we can put up some resistance against those great Denver wideouts.
And so I'll toss it to you there first then, Ken. You know, give me a prediction. Give me a winner and a score.
Oh, God.
I'll go first, I guess. So we saw today how Atlanta was able to bring any kind of pressure on Denver. And coming into the game, I think Atlanta was like one of the worst teams in producing sacks and things like that. So I'm pretty confident any team could form a decent pass rush against our offensive line right now. But yeah, I think this game is going to be a close game. And I think Denver's going to pull it out. I think if Trevor does play, he should be able to find the right spots where the receivers would be, get the ball out quick, like I said. And I think the Chargers are going to be able to keep it close like they always do. And then, I don't know, something's just going to come up. They just find ways to lose. So I think I'm going to go Denver 24-20.
All right. And your turn, Ken.
Oh, I hope they don't keep it close so I can just turn it off and resume to depression. But they probably will. It'll probably be somewhere around 24-17, but I think Denver's going to win. I hate predicting against Philip Rivers because he shows me so much, so many good things on the field, but then it doesn't matter because the team just falls apart. So, unfortunately, the Chargers season is probably done. I hope we can keep Denver from racking up a decent playoff position, but yeah, Chargers are probably going to lose on Thursday.
Well, as the Chiefs super fan, I hope you win, only in this context, because it would bring down the Broncos to our level, and we need that right now. So I feel like I should wish you guys luck, but I don't really, to either of you. So instead, just thanks for talking to me.
See you next week, Nick.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Cheers, guys.
There's some sort of joke there. You put three fans of the AFC West in a room, what will you get? I don't know. You can come up with your own punchlines and send them in to nextfanup@gmail.com because I'll read them on the next show. Or you can just tweet us at NFU Podcast. That works too. So there you go. Thursday night. It's an interesting one. It's a short week. Broncos at the Chargers. Trevor Siemian says he does expect to play in this particular game. Gary Kubiak will not be coaching this game. That will go to their special teams coordinator, Joe DeCamillis, as Gary Kubiak is recovering from that complex migraine condition. The series belongs to the Broncos. They've won the past four. I also saw another interesting stat about the Chargers. Looking here, yes, they are 0-10 in the division since November of 2014. That's dating back to November of 2014. 6-14 in the AFC West during Mike McCoy's tenure. That is what not getting better looks like. San Diego has also had a lead, or has blown a lead, in three of their five games this season. So they were leading in five games, blew it in three of them. That is also what not getting better looks like. It's a short week, a division rivalry. Normally I'm going to go with the home team, especially when everything seems to be in San Diego's favor in this one, but I can't do it. I'm going to take the Denver Broncos. Am I really? No. Yeah, I can't pull the trigger on this one. I really want to pull the trigger, but we all know if I go with the upset special here, that will automatically lock in the Denver Broncos. So I'm just going to take the Denver Broncos to win here. The opening line was -4. I'm going to stick with that as well. So give me the Denver Broncos here on the short week, going to a division rival's home and without their head coach. Trust me, it's a head scratcher sometimes. It really is. The NFL, what, any given Thursday night. So I already mentioned a few places where you can reach us. nextfanup@gmail.com. At NFU is our Twitter. We are on Facebook. Obviously, you can check out our previews there. Facebook.com/NFU podcast. We're working on a website. Ladies and gentlemen, I might have let the cat out of the bag. I may not have supposed to been saying that right now. We are working on a website so that you can check out our power rankings, some of our conversations that we do on Slack. That's our private group that we have for all the super fans, so we can just talk football 24/7. I think it's pretty obvious when we present a 2-hour preview, despite having two less games to talk about, we can talk about football literally 24/7. And there's quite a few of us that do. using Slack. So we'll present some of those conversations on our website as well. Plus, it'll be able to house some of our other things that we talk about that are on Facebook and Twitter and all of that good stuff. But you can always get the podcast on iTunes. Of course, you can get it on Stitcher and other great places, wherever great podcasts are heard. You know, you can hear the next Fan Up podcast. I will be back again on Thursday with quite a few super fans, including some new ones. I believe we're going to have the Ravens super fan join us, as well as our newest Cowboys super fan and the Dolphins super fan, Andy, who, you know, gave us, you know, real actionable, reasonable reasoning behind making picks. We'll be returning on Thursday. So we'll have a fun filled show for you Thursday, previewing all the games on Sunday. In the meantime, I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.